it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Memphis basketball added a commitment yesterday. Tarik Ingram, I think that's how you say his name. It's like Ingraham, but I think it's going to be pronounced Ingram. We'll talk about it with Partha Padhyay at 125. But he's a Rider University grad transfer, and he committed yesterday. 6'9", averaged 10.9 points, 7 rebounds a game last year for Rider. They were not a good team. They were 14-19 overall. They were 9-11 in the MAAC. Has been around for a long time, obviously, as a graduate transfer. But look, this is a big body. It's a 6'9 body here. And it's a guy unlike, you know, Thierno Silla, unlike a rope, unlike Simon Majak. He's got real Division I experience where he's actually averaged double figures. I mean, that's the difference, right? It's like, you know, those guys are all projects. Those guys are all in the bench. This is a guy who, honestly, I mean, you expect him to start. We'll, I guess, at least have a chance between him and our man Abdul Hakeem from UTRGV. And this is just more of a natural, you know, four-man or five-man, depending on, you know, how you want to do it. I think it's a really nice get for Memphis. I don't know who was pursuing. It seems like they were kind of dead set on Memphis to begin with throughout the whole process. He had to get a waiver to be eligible. He did. And so, you know, he's now headed to the University of Memphis. Now, the rub is you're only allowed to have 15 players. And Memphis is already at 15 before adding Ingram. So somebody got to go.
Mm-hmm.
Brad, we got to get the Survivor theme over there, man. I think we need to get the Survivor theme going over there. Can you get that? Because we're going to have the ceremony. Not the Survivor, like, song from Jimmy Jameson, but the game show Survivor. You know, they used to have that.
Vote somebody off.
Yeah, somebody got to get voted off, man. Mm. You know, I've played games of Survivor before. I know how hard it is when you have to put those votes in.
Yeah.
I've gotten voted off myself. I stayed pretty late into the game. You know, I was definitely a guy that you wanted to align with at the beginning because I'm pretty popular, but I also get my knees cut from under me at the end because they know I might have a chance to win.
You become a threat.
But, you know, I'm a heel, and so TV needs me around. There's just no doubt about that. Right. But so I want you to come to the council. Somebody got to go for Tarik Ingram. Jason,
it's easy.
Please cast your vote.
I'm folding that joker up. I'm putting in, stamped it. Vera Tuck.
Oh!
Let's see. He's only got one vote. You got to go around. You got to go around the panel.
All right. Brad?
Well, Jason and I see the world similarly. And in Survivor, it's all about alliances. And Jason, as we know, let me put this back on here. Jason has seen Vera Tuck in person. It was in the camp. Didn't you get to see him in the camp?
I don't remember Vera Tuck very well, but he was not one of the players that I remember highlighting.
Not memorable, basically, is what he's saying, John. And so, therefore, we are going to outwit, outlast, and outplay. Say goodbye. Is it Daniel Vera Tuck?
Yep.
Peace, Daniel. Your fire has been extinguished.
Well done. You did the fire thing. I like that.
Well,
he's already out. It doesn't matter. What, it doesn't matter your vote.
I am not trying to take the rifle out of your hand.
No, my vote has been rendered meaningless. So
no, I don't want to.
No, it's fine.
I took a ruling off here.
No, it's part of the game.
Right.
So now I'm gonna send a message.
Oh.
Right?
Oh.
My vote doesn't matter.
Right. So send a message.
It doesn't make sense for me to vote Vera Tuck because I am now outnumbered.
But you wouldn't have that in the game knowing what we did. You would have voted for Vera Tuck because you wouldn't have known what Brad and I voted for.
That is
this
true.
This is off our result that you're changing.
That is correct.
You've changed the game, but I am now curious as to your message who it's being sent to.
Now, didn't Daniel redshirt?
He did.
Yeah, he's got academic ineligibility issues.
So we have to pick somebody who's not redshirting, probably, Jason. I don't know. We kind of circumvented the rules.
He took a roster spot.
Oh, he did? So that's still a roster hold on the 15?
Yeah.
Well, hell, what the hell was he doing on the roster then? I think that we've answered that question. Dib's gone. The brother is gone. Yeah, this is easy. It's the redshirt kid.
Yeah, but Peace. John's about to send a message.
Oh. Oh, no.
I've written down my name. I'm going to stamp it. Who the hell are you? Mason Matthews. You got to go, man.
You didn't even give him a chance. I met him. He was a good dude.
No, honestly, it does feel like
One hurts.
It does feel honestly, you know, Mason is the DEI hire, and we're doing away with DEI in 2025.
Yep.
But Daniel Vieira Tuck definitely. I mean, he can't play, right?
Yeah, he's out.
He's already. What was the ruling? Ineligible or something like that?
He's academically ineligible because of the school he was at. The same stuff he's been going through.
Right. So
part of why he was redshirted.
Unfortunately, that decision is incredibly easy.
Yeah, it is easy.
It's not really difficult. I mean,
I don't think it is.
Well, I mean, who else? I mean, he could actually kick off Mason Matthews. He could. I mean, I don't really know what Mason Matthews is bringing to the table.
No, it's another reason I'm interested to get Parthen here on 125, just to sort of see if he's thinking along the same lines we are.
Because you're not kicking off, you know, you're not kicking off, obviously, Sincere Parker. You're not kicking off the bigs you just brought in. You're not kicking off, you know, Curtis, Ashton, Zach, Doug, Quante. You're not kicking off any of those. So to me, it really is only two. It's only Mason Matthews or Vieira Tuck. And, you know, I could see it because Mason Matthews is a guy who is, like, not going to play at all. And he's only got 1 year left. And he's, like, a big-ish. He's 6'8". So I could see, you know, Memphis saying, you know, or Penny saying, you know, we'll get you somewhere at, like, Lemoyne or something. We'll get you hooked up at Lemoyne. And he may, like, have a, like, we don't know. Penny may have, like, a greater emotional investment in Vieira Tuck. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's gotten to know his dad a little bit, you know? I don't know. I mean, I'm just theorizing. But, I do think this is definitely a godfather moment for Penny. And it's been a minute since he's had to be this cutthroat.
Yeah.
But I think those are the two. I mean, you can't send Simon back to Serbia.
No, Majok's got to stay.
I mean, you can't just. I mean, I know you got now. Maybe some things have changed now that you got another big, but that would be.
Where is Majok from?
Well, he came from Serbia. He's from Sudan.
Oh, got it.
By way of Serbia.
Got it.
You know what I'm saying? So get that ready for when you're the PA announcer and you're announcing the starting lineup.
Well, that's not happening.
It would be Sudan by way of Serbia.
Got it.
But yeah, I don't think you could be that cutthroat. You get these, especially with what he had to go through just to get here. I can't see it. So, I think Vieira Tuck is definitely going to be. It's one of the two.
Guy's ineligible right now.
Well, then that's right. That, you know, if Penny doesn't invest like that in guys, this would be the second year in a row. Mm-hmm. And essentially, I know he wasn't taking up a roster spot last year, but he had to kind of trust the process. And even then, when he trusts the process, he still's not going to get the guy here. So, you know, it just depends on what he thinks of him as a player. There is the consideration of Matthews is a senior. Vieira Tuck is a freshman. If Penny really believes in the player, it would make more sense to trust the guy and say, hey, we'll get him, we'll have him for next year because he's got eligibility and Mason Matthews doesn't. But I don't know those things. I do think, though, it's a very good addition for Memphis. I haven't plugged it into Torvik, though.
Yeah, what you're gaining is far greater than what you're losing. And with all due respect to whoever is dismissed or run off.
I wonder what it would do to. I'm actually going to plug it in here because I don't think it's been plugged in yet to Torvik. They are, as we speak, 72 in the country. Let's see what happens when I add Tarik Ingram.
Oh, it's going to go into the 64 plus.
No, it ain't going to be that damn high. Come on, man.
Come on, we got another. Yeah.
Let's see. I don't know. It's not giving me anything right now.
It's not until Penny dismisses one. It won't give it to you.
Mm. Maybe that's why. Let me subtract somebody. Okay, here we go. Well, I've added him.
Wow.
Good. Two spots.
Okay.
72 to 70.
Hey.
There we go.
Up two.
It's South Florida that's above you?
Oh, yeah.
How far?
I think they've definitely come back to the pack a little bit. They are 65th. So
I'll take my chances.
You go up to 70 with the addition of Ingram. You're five spots below South Florida, which, again, I don't think that is how it will finish. I'll be very disappointed if it finishes that way. Let's be clear.
I just think Penny found something he liked, too, with the big physical presence in Dane Danger. This guy's closer to that. I'm certainly not suggesting he's going to be as impactful as Dane, but that's what he didn't have is the girth, the big physical guy. That's what hopefully this represents. And shout out to Dane, too. He got the deal with Miami. His mom was extremely, I'm sure you saw it, complimentary of Penny Hardaway. Said, make sure you say this, Parth, in your story. We'll get to that with Parth at 125. But, no, looks like a good addition. Whether he's a backup or a starter.
Yes, absolutely.
Definitely a rotation.
Nice addition for the University of Memphis here late.
Costly loss for the Commanders last night. They fear that Austin Ekeler has a torn right Achilles, 27-18 loss to the Packers, but they had a great belief in Ekeler, so much so. Ekeler and their young rookie running back, Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt, so much so that they traded Brian Robinson, right before the start of the season to the San Francisco 49ers, their big back that had been one of their leading ground guys the last couple of years. So they liked Austin Ekeler, and everything that he brought is sort of a utility guy. He is getting up there along in the tooth. He's 30 years old, so you wonder about the rest of his career now, coming back from an Achilles, just for him individually. Eckler's always been a great player to have, especially on third down, and was really that for them. I think it was running a route on third and 10, then he went out for them, taken to the locker room. You saw him going off. It was like he already knew it. Eight rushes for 17 yards, had caught two passes for seven again in that game. They're trying to find, sort of what they've got in terms between those backs, and had hoped to have a, multiple-headed backfield. This certainly is a blow for them. As for the game itself, Jordan Love, I mean, he delivered the 292 yards, two touchdowns, didn't make the crucial mistake. Packers win 27-18 in a game, as my partner accurately said, wasn't as close as the score would indicate. Jaden got a lot of those yards. There in garbage time. It was 17-3 going into that fourth quarter. For Tucker Kraft, a little bit of a coming out part. Many of the fantasy lists early had Tucker Kraft as, I want to tell you, a top three tight end going into this year. For those that had it as that career high, 124 yards on six receptions for them. Big weapon for a guy who's going to spread it around and has in Jordan Love. And then back to the key point, he did not make the key mistake. Which has often been the case. We talked about it with your man Ruiz yesterday, Steven Ruiz. That's the thing with Jordan Love when he tries to do too much. Last night he did not. They looked great. Micah Parsons got after the quarterback, and the Packers get another very impressive win at home in this case, having beaten now Detroit and the Commanders.
I was actually thinking about the Ekeler thing because, as he was, limping off, Al Michaels was sort of telling this story about, things that, he and his mom used to do when he's growing up, to help him play football and things like that, like bucking Broncos or something. I don't remember exactly. But I was just thinking, Austin Ekeler is fine from a financial – he made it, right? He's made millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars over the years as a running back in the NFL. No doubt about that. But I found myself thinking, psychologically, I'm praying for that man because that's it. That's it. His career's over. That was his last snap. He's 30 years old. It's going to take a full year plus to come back from that Achilles, and ain't nobody checking for a 31-year-old Achilles running back coming off an Achilles injury. It's just not going to happen. I was kind of surprised he was still playing now, to be honest. And I think, some of that is probably due to, they trade Brian Robinson, and there's still a spot. But I think we watched Austin Ekeler's last snap, last night. I would be surprised if he ever does it again. And, you just think about it. All this guy knows, man. He's been playing football his entire life, going back to Pee Wee, man.
It's sad. It is sad.
And again, I'm not he's a tens of million. So in some ways, don't feel sad for the guy's got $1 billion, right? But I do feel sad for him because it's going to be an adjustment for him. It's just going to be an adjustment because you go from every day you're playing football, Pee Wee, middle school, high school, college, pro, for the last 15 years, He doesn't know a life without football. And now it's over. It's over just like that. Not even on his terms. It's just kind of decided for him. And I guess at some point that happens to everybody. But, as abruptly as it was last night, because you just knew it. It was non-contact. He knew it. We all knew it. And I hope that he can find some comfort in a life after football, because I do think there are a lot of athletes that do have a hard time adjusting and transitioning. And you know, by all accounts, he seems like a really sharp guy, and I think he'll be just fine. But I just don't underestimate the difficulty in that. You know, when you go from having this competitive sort of drive every day of your life for 18 years, 20 years, however long it's been that he's been playing football, and to not have that anymore, I think it's difficult. Especially when you sort of factor in the compounding, you know, recovery and rehab from the injury, which is devastating enough. So, I don't know, man. My heart bled a little bit last night for old Austin Eckler. He's been around a long time.
I mean, I'm about to tell you, 9 years for an NFL running back, he's already outlived the average by far. And I'm sure he goes into every season now at his age, at 30 years old, thinking, you know what, this could be pulled out from under me at any point.
Yes.
Because most running backs don't get that far. And especially guys like him that have become sort of, you know, situational third down guys. They're not every down. We ain't talking about, you know, somebody that's been among the elite for years and years.
Yeah. Here.
So he's had a heck of an NFL career. You're right. I was sad for him when I saw his face, because there was clearly a realization that if I'm ever going to be back to this game, boy, is it going to be uphill for me at 30 years old.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And also, clearly they said, no, we've got confidence in you. We're bringing this rookie in, but we're keeping you and not Brian, you know, not Brian Robinson. So you're letting that side of things down when you knew you had a great opportunity. You know, an increased opportunity in front of you. That's why I felt bad for him. But dude has outlived.
Oh, yeah, no.
Most, I mean, at a position that has become devalued in this league, because this is what we do to them.
Yep.
We run them into the ground.
That's right.
Running backs, and then we move on to the next one. But no, for Austin Eckler, for his family, for his career, you know, everything that he's done, yeah, it's unfortunate. But the NFL is a big monster, man. It keeps on rolling.
Well,
and
it is.
It'll be next man
and,
up.
And that's why, you know, he won't be back, because he'll just, like, the 22-year-old running back.
They'll go with
the
young guy. Yeah. Exactly. They're not going to keep paying most of the time, especially when you've become a situationalist.
I mean, like, this is how hard it is. I think Austin Eckler is just a great example of just how damn difficult it is to make it in the NFL as a running back, right? And to be, like, you know, financially independent as a running back in the NFL. He didn't make more than $1 million until his fourth year in the NFL, and that was his best earning year. He made $9.5 million that year, in with his contract with the Chargers. And then every year after that, it was four, it was five, it was six, it was four, it was three. Like, he never made $20 million a year. He never made $15 million a year. He never made $10 million a year. And you're talking about a guy who was like a freaking
stud,
workhorse, right? Yeah. I mean, that dude was catching passes. He was running. I mean, he was doing everything for the Chargers.
He's an every down back for them.
Yeah, that's when I think about Austin Eckler. I think about a guy that had like 400 touches a year, and he was doing that
one of the best scores
for less than $1 million a year until his fourth year in the NFL when he was 25 years old. And they did ultimately reward him in 2020. But it's just, to me, it's like, man, you talk about devalued. This guy's career is the perfect illustration of that. Because you told me there was never a year where Austin Eckler made more than $10 million, bro? I mean, that's insane to me. And it's like if you're out there and you're an aspiring NFL player, it's like, this is – you think of Austin Eckler having a really freaking elite career, like in his peak, but he never made elite money. Like, what's Saquon get?
He's a little over 10. Maybe he got 11 or 12 from Philly, something like that.
That's amazing.
But even that is like
– no doubt.
We don't pay them like we used to.
We don't pay them any. I mean, relative to the deal.
All right. So Saquon signed. Okay. So because they did it a different way, they did a 2-year contract.
Mm-hmm.
So he got $36 million guaranteed, with up to $15 million in additional incentives. So, but again, they did
how
a short term, 2 years.
Cool.
So 2 years, $36 million guaranteed. So he's about 18 plus.
Oh, he's higher than I thought.
No, but I mean, again, though, they did it in a way that's only. You know, you're not getting 5 years at that.
No.
You know, they ain't giving that man a 5-year contract at 18 plus per. No chance. You know? And that's, again, this is double. This is Saquon, you know, what, 8 years in his career?
Yep.
I mean, it took him 8 years in his career to get this kind of deal. The Giants didn't want to pay him. We talked about that.
And for them, you hope that you split carries with Tank to save the load and get another payday.
No, most definitely.
You know?
I mean, but he's only 28. That's the crazy thing. I mean, this dude is only 28 years old.
Wow.
In Saquon Barkley. But yeah, I mean, it's just not a position anymore that, you know, because the way that Saquon didn't even make $10 million until 2023 with the Giants. I mean, and we know how many he got his first year. Okay, so he got it up front. That's what it was. He got $21 million up front. I guess that was just a negotiation thing, maybe a signing bonus or something. But until he didn't make $10 million a year again until 2023. But what these NFL teams do, man, they just bring in the mercenaries. They just bring in the Bill Krosky Merritts, the Chris Rodriguez's. They just don't think that there's anything that separates the you know, fourth best running back in the NFL from the 44th best running back in the NFL, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like they – and I don't know. Maybe there's not. I don't know. You know, there's just very few that are true three-down guys anymore. Derrick Henry is one of them. Josh Jacobs is one of them.
So, yeah, they reworked his deal after the Super Bowl with this extension.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's making 20.6.
This is Saquon?
McCaffrey's at 19. This is the average yearly value. Derrick Henry is 15. Jonathan Taylor, 14. And then drops to Kamara, 12. Jonathan James Cook, who just got signed, 12.
Right.
Jacobs, 12. Saquon reset the market.
Yes, he did. But then, but he reset the market in a way that's like, unless you're Saquon, you ain't getting that.
To get to that level, okay, it's going to be tough. You got to be McCaffrey or him, and that's old McCaffrey that got the $19 million
right
per year. So there's about three or four that are you know, well up closer to 20, and the rest of them are in that still 11 and 12 range.
And Jamar Chase is getting double that. I mean, that's
– oh, we're a passing league. That's the other part about it.
Yeah.
About this position having been devalued.
I mean, if you're – like, there's just no point in being a running back if you're coming up in high school. Like, don't try to be a running back.
Quarterbacks, receivers,
yep,
tackles, yeah, to protect that quarterback.
Or, you know, you'd be an edge rusher if you want.
Edge rusher to go get that quarterback. But the point is that it's about attacking the passing game or being part of that. That's who gets the money.
No, you're right. You're right. I mean, and even if you're a pass catching running back, like, they don't value that anymore. You know, like, LaDainian Tomlinson would be like an $8 million guy.
Well, if you're going to top out like Saquon and Christian, you better be. If you're going to get the top money at that position,
yep.
If you're going to play this position, you won't get top money. You better be one that does both.
I mean, I would just tell him, if my son was ever a football player, I'd say, dude, don't you dare try to ever be a running back. That makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah.
You're going to get CTE and no money?
You get the most beat up.
I mean, most, yeah. Man, hell no, bro.
You're valued probably, you know, one of the
crazy. Go, the you better ask him, wait and go be a damn tight end or something.
I tell you what, the Commanders are really screwed because they were lining up Eckler on the end. They were moving him all around the field. They had a plan for him, and this is going to jack them up big time.
Well,
yeah, they like that rookie. The problem is you just traded out a guy who could really use right now,
your
Robinson,
backup.
Who was your battering ram.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know,
you're kind of screwed.
So they'll go out and get somebody off the scrap heap, but it won't be the as dynamic.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I would say,
in terms
like
of using guys.
You know, the strategy of just hoping that Eckler held up for an entire season at his age is kind of nuts.
Yeah.
On their behalf. I mean, they clearly think Jane Daniels and whoever will be enough. Is just kind of how I perceive it. I don't know that it will be.
I don't know, man.
Brian Robinson had a pretty good year last year, but again, I think he's a replaceable guy. I mean,
he's been solid. They didn't want to pay him,
right?
You know, at that, again, back to not want to pay a running back for what he is. You're talking about a guy who doesn't catch a lot of passes out of the backfield.
Yes,
limited guy, and that's why they went and got the rookie, Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt. He's in there. They'll use him a lot, like Eckler. It feels like. But to your point, you went in awful thin with him, a rookie, and then a 30-year-old.
Yeah,
you know, trying to be dynamic with those two. You could have used another big body. I'm sure. Again, I'm sure there's somebody on that scrap heap that's available.
Yeah, I mean, Robinson last year only had 8 touchdowns, so I think and only 799 yards. So I feel like from their perspective, they're just like, man, we'll get away with it.
I feel like he had dropped from 5 a carry to about 3.9 a carry. That's what it felt like last year after being, you know, a pretty bruising running back and effective running back the first couple of years.
You mentioned the defensive lineman they lost too, right? Dietrich Wise, they lost him on that PAT when he got rolled up on. I mean, he's a below average defensive lineman, but I mean, he was a starter for him, so he loses
even more cost.
That was
a loss.
That was an absolutely devastating night. If you are a Commanders fan, so and I think again we went into that game yesterday. We talked about it, like, all right, make a statement. Where are you in the NFC power rankings? Mm-hmm. They ain't fifth. It's going to be the Rams or the Bucks.
Do you have any conviction
we'll
there?
I still believe in Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, if the Bucks win this weekend against the Texans on the road, they have to be fifth. Even because the Rams are big favorites against the Titans in Nashville, so I mean they should handle that. But yeah, that was quite the devastating night last night. If you are indeed a Commanders fan, just gonna stay with the NFL here because it is the Friday before the slate this weekend. I only have one bet thus far for NFL Week 2. I'm not saying I won't add. But I do have the Chargers against the Raiders. I got to say, I played them -3 on Monday night in Vegas. Because don't forget my power ratings. Mm-hmm. I had Chargers #2. You know, I had them ahead of the Ravens. So I have to. You know, what I'm saying, put my money where my mouth is on that.
Betting against your own team.
I hate to do it, but man, it's hard.
That's a level. Wow, you're on a whole different level, bro.
It's just hard to watch what Justin Herbert did to the Chiefs in Brazil and not think he's going to do it again.
No, what would be hard for me to do is watch a game as a fan of a team I care for, but be more concerned about my bet coming through.
Well, I guess that's
what happens when you cross over to professional.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Is that because that's a line that
common
fan's not going to be, nor would he want to do any part of that in terms of the internal torment.
No doubt.
Going on. But once you become professional,
it's
only about the money. And this is business.
Well, it can be.
So you'll slick be rooting for a fourth quarter collapse if you guys are winning, which is not the way to watch a football game, bro. I mean, I'm just going to tell you man to man in terms of you got your Raiders stuff on.
I do.
He does, literally.
And yet, if anybody over there knew you had bet against them, they wouldn't even want you on the sideline.
They would disown me.
But you're okay with that because, again, you're like the dude in Casino. You're like De Niro. You've crossed over. You're a pro now.
That's right, man.
You're a bookmaker, essentially. You're about
value,
that business.
If there's value on the line, I got to attack
it. But you can no longer, I'm just going to say this, and I think it's legit, you can no longer call yourself a fan.
I am a fan, for sure. I want them to do well overall. I don't think they're going to do well, though. That's the problem. I don't believe they will. I want them
you
to.
You don't want them to win this game.
Well, I mean, if they do, it's
fans
fine.
Fans don't do that.
If they do win, it's fine. Like, they're 2-0. I'll still.
Yes, but you don't want them to. Fans want their team to win. If fundamentally, they want their team to win.
Well, okay. So, I want them to win most of the time.
The explanation is that you've crossed over.
I mean,
it's a lot like when you do media. You cross over to the point, hey, I got to cover this game objectively, right?
Right.
I got to take the fan out of me.
Right.
This is not some transition that no one's made before. It happens all the time. I think that's what this is. Officially, you've crossed over to professional.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's say the Raiders are absolutely horrible. Let's say it's week 14 and they're like 3-12. If I bet against them, does that make me less of a fan?
At that point?
Yeah. And no, it's like you're taking advantage of a horrible team. I think yes. This time, you know, that's probably not a nice thing to do as a fan of a team, right? It's probably like, how dare you? But it is a hedge emotionally as well. It's like
it's a hedge.
If they lose,
I'm not telling you it's not smart because you look at the matchups.
Right.
This is again the businessman in you.
That's right.
The smart financial decision here.
That's right.
Is to go Chargers.
It might be. It might not be. I mean, the Raiders may win this thing outright. Pete Carroll might start 2-0. Geno Smith goes for 400 on you.
They beat Casey. Y'all beat what, the Pats?
But what do we know? I mean, I don't remember last year how the it was Packers and Eagles in Brazil, right? I'd be curious to know how they did coming back the next week. You know,
like those teams coming back from Dublin, or from Kansas State.
Yeah, I don't think either one of them. I think Kansas State lost. I believe.
Wasn't it Florida State the year before?
Yes.
That
so
did it too?
The travel is kind of been a very weird thing. So you have I want to bet the Chiefs, but I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can get there because they just look so damn bad against the Chargers. But that would be a place that I would potentially like to add.
I mean, Broncos sitting here at -1 against the Colts and Daniel Jones. Come on, bro. That seems easy. What am I missing on Broncos -1 on the road? Daniel Jones is not going to do that again. He's not going to look nearly that good. And now you Bo Nix is not going to look that bad. I don't believe. I mean, I think maybe Broncos -1 gets a bet for me.
Just feel square.
Broncos -1?
Yeah.
Well, you bet Daniel Jones then.
I'm not betting anything.
I bet Daniel Jones.
You asked me to make a case. I said that feels square. Again, Daniel Jones had a great first game. If you're asking him to just go out and not make mistakes and manage games, he can do that.
Yeah.
You ask him to go be a franchise quarterback, he can't do that.
Right.
And that's why he's starting over Anthony Richardson.
Right.
Just his ability to manage.
Yes. Jags +3.5 over the Bengals looks interesting to me because the Bengals shouldn't have beaten the Cleveland Browns. And I just feel like they are not going to be able to get enough stops on this Jaguars offense to justify 3.5.
Interesting to see how the difference in using Travis. They say they're going to use him more defensively this week. So, again, why the back and forth? Why not one plan? Let the guy get locked in on being great at one.
Yep.
It just doesn't make any sense to me how much they're letting him and this whole I want to play on both sides sort of dictate the plan.
Right.
They should be dictating the plan to him.
I
agree. Should be Deion. We'll do some packages for you offensively. Or just decide. I mean, he had 8 targets or whatever, 6 receptions last week. Hey, just let him be the receiver and let him get used to running routes against professional DBs. But stop this back and forth. It just goes back to bad plan Jacksonville. But they usually do have a bad plan, seemingly.
Yes.
I don't understand it.
How does a fantasy manager who has Travis Hunter on his roster?
Well, now you're going to make it sound like I'm saying this.
But
here's the point. I was already saying that before I drafted. I was already saying it with Brad before I drafted. I think it was before I drafted him. Is the same case. Is
right.
That let him be one or the other. It's Travis that wants to show the world and prove that he can do this playing every snap both sides. No!
Right.
Nobody's going to last 17 games, and he's now your investment.
Mm.
You tell him what the plan's going to be. You got his rights now. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
And frankly, it's the best thing for his career.
It
you
is.
You play him both sides, doing all, you're going to get this guy broken
up. Yeah, you add mileage on him, yeah.
And back to the point, yes, you add mileage on him and everything else. Let him excel on one side.
Well, they should know by now where his future is. I mean, they had the whole summer with him.
I thought coming into the season, you and I said it, from what we saw of him in college, I thought lockdown corner,
agreed,
like Deion, take a whole half,
agreed,
of the field, and when he touches that ball, it's going pick six to the house because of his receiving skills.
You
that
let
dude
him,
could be all pro bowler every year,
no
it feels
doubt.
Like.
Let him return skills. Some punts,
but
right?
But with the way they used him first game, I'm thinking, they're going receiver with him. Oh, this is, you know what, maybe this will be a good fantasy pickup.
Yep.
But now you tell me you're going back more snaps defense. Just stick with one or the other.
Will he remain in the starting lineup for Caleb's Nails this weekend?
He has not been in the starting
lineup.
He was. He was my flex last week. You're right. He was my flex.
Are we considering a change in the lineup based on his usage?
Not really. We probably already lost a big Dan Williams who was in here earlier with his Jaden Daniels.
I like it.
Team.
The premature conceding is always good karma.
But I'm not betting against myself. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Even at this point, even down, I'm not betting against myself. I want to win.
That's right.
And come back. Even knowing
I want to go 16-1, bro. I want to go 16-1.
Even as bad as Caleb and the Bears looked in that.
Dude, how could you look? How could you look compete in the eye right now?
I couldn't.
No, he wouldn't want any part of you.
I could.
No.
He would turn his back on a fan like John.
I'm going to tell you who I look.
Son of a gun.
I'll tell you who. I couldn't look Gino in the eye, but I can tell you who I look in the eye. Ash and Genty. My man, you about to get hurt. You about to get hurt, man. You only averaging 3.9 yards to carry, man.
Now, was that him or is the Patriots defense good against the run?
I don't really know yet.
Okay.
I mean, I assume that the Patriots are going to be pretty good against the run. Yeah. I mean, it's a Mike Vrabel team.
I saw his numbers. It's per yard. Yeah, it was not good. For
horrendous.
Yeah.
Horrendous. And the other part of the bet here is that Brock Bowers is very, very iffy. Like right now, he's saying he's unsure to play.
I saw that. Yeah. He's on my team. I got to figure that out.
Did we see when he got hurt? I didn't see the play.
I did not because he led the team in rush.
They held him out a lot in the second half.
Yeah. I heard a lot. And people blame the injury.
He didn't practice yesterday.
There was also, now again, it's a Monday night game.
Now we're going to figure that out today.
So if it was a Sunday night game and he didn't practice on Thursday, he would almost certainly not be playing.
Facts.
But if he doesn't practice today, he's not playing.
No, I need to keep an eye.
You can wrap it up. Let me just go through here. Let me give you some market report here.
Ooh, Bears Lions all the way out to 6.5.
Ew.
Yikes. I mean, at what point do we get interested in the Bears? I mean, I understand this was 4 or something, but
if you look at both games against the Lions for Caleb last year, they were great. Threw for over 600 yards against them. They were shootouts. He played well. Now he's got Ben Johnson on his side. Mm. The Bears defense played well for 3 quarters last week.
Yep.
That would be my case of, yes, take the Bears and the points. That said, bro, this thing could collapse at any point. You saw it happen in the 4th quarter.
It could, but
I'm not giving you any advice on this.
All right. We'll watch
it. I don't know what to expect after that. Hart was taken out.
I certainly would not. I would not be betting the Lions here. I'll tell you. I'm not saying I'd bet the Bears, but I would not bet the Lions at this number.
This is what I'm thinking could happen with the Bears at some point. And again, Ben's got his own mistakes that he made in that game, replay and all that stuff. But at some point, if Ben feels like Caleb's not getting it, he's gonna put in Bajan.
Yes, he will.
And you're gonna do it first, kind of like the Bryce Young thing. Remember in Carolina. You're going to do it to see if this motivates the kid. But you know what it's going to do to Caleb Williams?
Him off.
It's going to drive him right out of there.
We already know.
He's the kind of guy that can't take that kind of coaching. Okay. He's the kind of guy that's going to turn his back on you like he did to Thomas Brown. When Thomas said last year, the interim coach, he said, get back here. Got guys walking off from you. You're trying to coach him like a grown man. So I could completely see in our season going into some mess like that because I'm not sure this dude wants to be coached.
Yeah. I mean,
Yeah, I'm watching intently, man.
Yeah.
But Ben's got to get him a run game. I mean, your man Stephen Ruiz came on and hammered that with us yesterday, mm-hmm. and he's right. But come on. You know, that not having a run game isn't an excuse for the mistakes we saw with the footwork, the stepping out of bounds to take a sack. The intentional grounding was preschool, you know. Some of that, but again, he reverted back. Mm-hmm.
That's why they paid Bajan, though. They're going to put him in at some point.
This preseason, that dude looked like he got Ben Johnson's system on day one and looked like he sucked it up like a computer.
Yep.
Now, he's Bajan.
Yeah.
He's not going to be able to do the miraculous that Caleb got rolling right, hit a guy on the sideline going out of bounds. That's not necessarily what Ben Johnson needs. Oh. He just needs somebody to run it like Jared Goff. Just get it out of there.
Yes.
Timing. And Bajan's sitting right there willing to do it. So, again, the problem is, a lot of NFL teams would do it. Bryce Young, it seemed to work for. We were wondering about it. He's going to take all this confidence away from this kid. He came back better.
Mm.
I don't think Caleb's built that way. He's not built that way to take that kind of coaching.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So keep an eye out for it.
So I like Rams minus 5.5, but so does everybody else. So I don't think there's anything interesting about that. I could see myself maybe, depending on how the afternoon goes, maybe 49ers will get a bet for me with Mac Jones on the road here because I just think the Saints are so tragic. But, I mean, it ain't like the 49ers ain't tragic with those injuries either. I think it should be a great week. What is this, week 2? Only week 2 of NFL, week 3 of college football.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be a fun week of NFL.
Speaking of that, it should be a pretty fun week of college. We haven't talked much about the Texas A&M Notre Dame game. That's 16-8. We've spent a lot of time on Memphis and on the SEC, and most of our eyes will be on that over the weekend. We talked about Memphis taking another bit of a step up from what they faced. Chattanooga, Georgia State step up, and you're taking, I would say, a step up to a Troy team
mm-hmm.
that played pretty well against Clemson. Led them. We talked about it coming in here on Monday, and beat Clemson in time of possession. That says something to me about their ability to control the ball. For Memphis, a defense particularly that's one that's been, turnover-driven, and that's been their M.O. the last couple of years, getting Troy to turn the ball over, make mistakes, that's something you're going to set out to do if you're Jordan Hankins in that Memphis defense. You want to see, too, a leveling up, another level up for that offense. We've said this, and we kind of set it up before the season. This could be a sort of step up and a ramp up for Brendan Lewis, this offense, get it going and humming to whatever degree that it can before that Arkansas game, and it's kind of played out that way. It's been unfortunate that you haven't had Duozier, after getting hurt in the initial game. He is listed as day-to-day. Frank Bonner told us yesterday that's not something he thinks is going to linger long into the rest of the year. But do you want to, if he is still day-to-day, maybe getting him out there, getting his legs back under him before that Arkansas matchup would be something we're watching for. I hadn't seen a decision yet on whether he'll go. You probably, hopefully, won't need him against this Troy team. Hopefully, Brendan Lewis, who played against Troy, I believe, when he was at Nevada, had a 2-touchdown game, I think, so there's some familiarity there. hopefully for this Memphis team. Like I said on Monday, I'm not concerned about you covering, just concerned about you getting to 3-0. We said that was the goal heading into your biggest non-conference game of the season against Arkansas. Your chance to, if you're 3-0, take an Arkansas team that's even 2-1. If they've lost to Ole Miss this weekend, that's another one of the matchups. Obviously, we'll be looking at over the weekend. I mean, it even if they're 2-1, it still sets up as a great opportunity for you to get that marquee out of conference win that can help you if you win the AAC. Be the group of five representative of college football.
Yeah, and again, like this is, I've seen 3.5s on this game. I mean, it's just come way, way down. And it's interesting because, I mean, Memphis beat them 38-17 here last year. So I guess you can, the idea is that Troy's much better than they were a year ago.
There's last year and there's what they did last week against Clemson.
Right. Exactly.
And that's what they're looking at.
Right. I don't know what, do you know what Troy did before that by chance?
I do not. I don't have it in front of me.
I think they beat Nickel 38-20. So maybe the idea here is that Troy at home, much improved. Memphis got the trap game look ahead, Maybe they won't be as locked in as they should be.
Can you be looking ahead when they played Clemson so well?
I mean, that
when
helps.
They led them at
that
the
helps.
Half.
That should help. Yeah. I mean, Silverfield called Vandy. He got called Dabo.
I think he called Vandy back at half, and then we made the rest of the adjustments.
Yeah.
It worked, and then we shut him down.
Well,
he said we had to call back.
We got unlimited minutes now.
We called back.
Well, there used to be, back in the day, when I was growing up, man, you couldn't call nobody until after 7 because you had minutes.
Right.
I don't know if you ever had that.
No.
See,
never limited like that.
Yeah, that was syrup sandwich struggle right there, man. You couldn't call nobody until text messages used to cost like 10 cents a message, man. It cost money to send texts, man. They were really
cracking down. They were watching the monitor in those minutes. Anything goes out of there.
They couldn't let a pimp do nothing. I had no motion back in the day, man. They wouldn't let me until after 7. You know what I mean? I had to wait until the sun went down. Or I think I had to call on the same. I had to ask, like, hey, you got AT&T? We can talk, if you got AT&T. So, but again, that was back in the day, man. So I don't think Silverfield don't have to wait. Have to ask, who is it? What's that coach's name, man? At Vandy, it's escaping me. What's his name?
Clark Lee.
Clark Lee. Yeah, that's coach crazy. Lee. We didn't know his name.
I show speed was there yesterday at Vandy's 2 days ago.
He went to Vandy's.
Yeah,
football
he was at their football practice.
Lame.
Yeah. That's why he said Memphis was better. More
Nashville just bored him.
Bored as hell.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, he's hit the.
Did we get to see Penny yesterday?
No, we saw a Penny jersey. Somebody gave him a Penny Hardaway signed jersey.
Oh,
nice!
I don't remember who it was, but somebody gave it to him.
He knew what that was.
Oh, it was an Orlando Magic joint. Yeah, yeah, but Penny's 50, man. He ain't popping up in no damn
like me.
Yeah,
Speed in New Orleans today.
He's in New Orleans.
You called it. I said to Lou. You mentioned maybe New Orleans.
South. Yeah,
I think you said New Orleans.
Yeah,
as another option.
Yeah. Cause Arkansas, right? We were like, he's not going.
Oh, when you said Texas, maybe I'm giving you too much credit.
I think we said you could go, south. I think again, we'll have to check the tape, but I think we did say south as opposed to just straight up west.
I saw his bus yesterday. So the bus was parked over in the parking lot at the Hilton Memphis. He has two buses, giant buses. One of them is labeled.
Yes, beautiful
looking.
I will say that you got more giddy about it yesterday than I expected.
Really? Oh, my kid is all over this.
I didn't think.
Yeah.
I thought when it was and even knowing it was a big deal, but you seemed locked in. You're watching it. You saw him announce it. You seemed more. You were all in on iShow Speed.
I follow both of y'all because one of the things I don't want to do is I don't want to be the 50-year-old who's like not at least a little aware what the
who
hell
can't understand the world anymore.
Like,
and
my old man could give two S's about it. I don't want to be that guy. Like I want to be a guy who I listen to y'all talk about it. And I'm like I want to be aware of what the hell's going on a little bit. I'm not going to act like I'm some pop culture wizard.
Well,
here,
you keep having Thaddeus Young in here, and you'll find out what's ahead, what's next,
that.
5 years, 10 years down the line, you'll get in on it early.
You're on it pretty early, though, Jason. Too, I would say.
Well, Jason,
from an investment level,
the way it kind of unfolded is Jason tuned into the beginning of the stream. He saw Speed in his drawers sleeping, and then that was it. He tuned out after that.
I'm about to be 49 years old.
I don't know if we got him back in. Did we get you back in at any point?
I think I saw him when they were down to form in here. But did I tend to it after I left? No, because I said, John's going to be on it. And you know what I thought I saw in his eye? Column. So he's always, got it, and and boy, did you nail it with your column.
Well, I appreciate
today.
It. That
boy,
was a,
did you nail
that was
it with
a,
your column.
That was a game time decision. I was just sitting around thinking, I'm like, damn, you know.
Well, it's gonna be,
it's a good offering, John. Smith.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Good man. Offering. It was. I know Boyd was pleased with that sacrifice.
Very good offer.
That was a Boyd by way of Metro.
Situation.
I saw it said down on downtown.
Downtown, man. I'm a Metro columnist.
John's right on downtown.
Yeah,
I'm a Metro columnist, bro. I'm not just a sports guy.
You know, you should. Your aspirations don't need to stop with the sports.
Yeah,
part.
Do some news.
I was like, who is going to be the next Jeff Calkins? Who is that guy?
It's a great question. I don't know if he's here. I honestly like there.
I don't know, bro.
You can't fill those shoes because right if you do right now, you'll get COVID.
That's fair.
But when that does indeed pass, I think you could maybe talk about doing that. I mean, listen, I could write a column about politics. I could do all that, you know? I mean, that was Jeff for a long time, but then he got soft. He doesn't write about politics anymore. He just writes about dogs and, you know, this is a great Memphian. You know, I want Jeff to get back to his roots. You know, Jeff was an irritant. How many years would you, I mean, he was an agitator. He was like, fire R.C. Johnson, fire Larry Porter, fire Shirley Raines. He used to be about that life.
Oh, columnists always start out with, you know.
Yeah. He came. I mean, he really set flames to the ground. Mm-hmm. And then he just stopped.
Well, you do it because you're climbing.
He got comfortable. Once that money in that account started growing, he's like, oh, I don't got to piss nobody off no more, man. I'm cool, man. You know, and I get it, and I respect that. But don't stop. Come on, man. Now, I think for Calkins, now is the time. Get it off your chest, man. Whatever grievances are left, now is the time, bro. He's taking the damn dog going to Michigan. Like, no, now put the pedal to the metal, man.
Dog gonna get COVID.
I don't know if we. It's possible.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. He's got a cold or something.
They masked the dog.
It is possible that I brought it into the studio.
Seriously, man.
I mean, I had.
I'm starting to put two and two together here now.
You know, I did.
We need to put that thing back in.
There was a, you know, I was thinking about this, that, like, because Calkins, you know, revealed his diagnosis. I was like, man, that, you know, that COVID time was, when you look back at it, some parts of it, not all parts of it, some parts of it, you kind of appreciated. It slowed everything way down. It just did. It just, you know, and it was, you know, you know, every day I come in here and I get absolutely flamed for staying in the Cove. But back then, it was like you had to. You had no choice but stay in the Cove. You know, it was widely and socially accepted. You know, now it's like I'm a lone wolf, you know. And it's just, I miss those halcyon days, you know, when it was accepted by society.
Tennessee got any chance against Georgia?
They're at home. I'll give them a chance.
Defense should keep them in the game, right? Georgia doesn't have the NFL game breakers on offense.
Agreed.
Seem like they've had more in the past than they do this
year. Yeah, and the only issue is
everybody doubts Gunnar Stockton, those that I've listened to about Georgia.
Yes.
And so, I mean, that would be the case, right? Tennessee's defense is legit, and they've got a quarterback who's clicking with Heupel and Aguilar.
Yes. The only issue I might bring to the table there is that Tennessee's down their top two DBs. Now, again, how much will that matter? I don't know.
Are there any Brock Bowers out there?
I don't think so. I really don't. I mean, Georgia, the first two games of the season has just been very underwhelming. Now, some people would argue.
Make it a game.
Some people would argue, Jason, because they played FCS teams, that they didn't show anything, they didn't care. They played Marshall at FCS, but, you know, you don't have to do too much against Marshall. And then last week it was Austin Peay. But yeah, like you look at the roster, man. I mean, it's Oscar Delp, but a bunch of like very much unproven receivers for Georgia. You know, guys that you don't really know. And you know, Dylan Bell's been there, but you know, he hasn't really done anything in his career. So yeah, I mean, if you're gonna beat Georgia, man, from where I sit and you're Tennessee, like it's gotta be Saturday. Like now is the year, man.
And we got one that matters a lot, particularly around here. Although South Florida's done a lot already, 3:30 on the CW, John. The biggest game ever on the CW, that's for sure.
It
number
is.
18, South Florida, going to number 5, Miami. This is not Florida. Not Florida. Yes, both were ranked, but Miami is on a different level, whatever the line is.
Yeah.
Miami.
All right. That's it. That's that. You're calling your shot. Like
I don't have it in front of me. You know what it is?
Oh, it's like 17.5. Yeah. It's basically the
this
same
is the
as
one
Florida.
Where it happens.
Yeah. I was talking to my sharp guy, Eddie Walls, about this yesterday, and he thinks that the South Florida defense might be better.
I've said it the entire time. They got dogs on D.
Yeah.
This is a different level, I'm saying. I watched South Florida both of their first games.
But I think Eddie's point was more aligned with yours in that this is a good number for Miami, right? Like, this is actually because you're getting the same price as Florida. And Miami is clearly better than Florida. Now, we can sit here and we can argue about, South Florida and, you know, how much better are they than we thought coming into the year and things like that. Because Eddie said before the season he would have made it 22. He would have made this number 22. So you're adjusting it down 4.5 because of how good South Florida has looked. But I guess I would retort by saying Miami's looked better than I thought. Because they beat Notre Dame. I mean, and Beck was amazing, you know, in that game.
They have a guy who's been through the wars in Carson Beck. I know he was disappointing last year. But this guy's played SEC schedules.
No
he's
question.
Played in big games.
Yes.
You know, he's going to they're going to put a plan together that, again, make South Florida look pretty ordinary. It's just what I feel. And yes. I just think, and I know Bonner's right, if you're out of school, you don't say go lose. What the AAC is more important. But if it's at half and Miami's rolling, dude, at some point you are going to lay back a little bit, even if it's just in your belief in whether you can win the game, how hard you're going, because staying healthy and winning the conference is the most important thing. If you do that, you can take this L and you are still the Group of Five representative because you have two wins.
It's FBS house money, no doubt about it.
So that's what I'm saying. That's why that goes to that number some more. Okay, Miami's going to get the ball back. They're going to, you know, it's just not.
I tend to agree with you. I might put my hand on the stove and fade South Florida again. I faded him against Florida. But like
I told you don't do that.
I just feel like how many weeks in a row will the market be wrong about South Florida, right? They've been wrong about him 2 weeks in a row. Is it really going to be three?
I think this one's about that, but about being more right about Miami.
Right.
They were wrong about Florida.
I don't know who Miami played last week. Freed Hardman. Oh, it was Bethune-Cookman. Who cares?
Warm up. We didn't show them anything.
Yeah. This is like basically a rivalry game, right? I mean, this is South Florida versus South Florida here. You know? I mean, it feels like you come to our house, we're going to whip your ass.
If Byron Brown went down in this game, now that South Florida has given the American a leg up, it would be good for them.
Well, Byron Brown is always a threat to get injured.
The way he runs.
Yeah. I mean, any moment.
So I'm just saying, at this point,
they've
done all their work for the American in terms of, because now you get a chance to beat them.
Yes.
And they're a ranked team. I'm just saying, man, they lose Brown, the whole thing comes unraveled.
Yeah. Now, remember, they played last year with Cam Ward, and it was 50-15. I don't remember what the point spread was in that game. I remember being on South Florida. Though.
Now he missed a lot of the season. I don't know which games he played. Did he play?
He played in that one. This is when he got hurt, man.
Bro, I'm telling you, I have to have a private conversation with him if I'm Alex.
Yeah. It was 15.5 last year.
You have to be smart. You can't run over defenders in this one. Mm-hmm. No, run out of bounds.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have that conversation. He is your season. You're right there.
That's interesting. So it was actually at South Florida last year. It was 15.5. I mean, you're only having to pay 2 points more, and it's there in Miami. I mean, they won 50-15. I mean, Cam Ward, in fairness, number one pick in the draft. So
Carson Beck at one time was thought it was a draft prospect.
But like, is there a huge difference between Cam and Carson Beck at the college level? Probably not. And I would say Miami is probably better than they were a year ago, you know? So I think 17.5 is extremely fair in this game. And, you know, I'd probably bet it. I probably will bet it.
I like the number, and I've been impressed with South Florida.
Yeah.
More impressed than others.
Yeah, at some point, what goes up must come down. I just kind of feel like you can't. Dude, they're playing like a damn SEC schedule right now, bro. It's insane. Boise State, Florida, Miami, like that's.
I think Miami might be a title contender.
They might be.
It's a different level up.
They might be. We'll see. We'll learn a lot about both of these teams.
We will.
You know, I mean, if South Florida does it again, bro, they're going to the playoff. It's over.
I mean, they still got to win the AAC.
They still got to win the AAC, but you feel like that would be a foregone conclusion.
They're that team if they've done this.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see some stats on winning three, again, you know, three to open your season against ranked opponents.
For sure.
They're the only team in the country that's got two wins over ranked opponents. You open the season, these kind of three, keep in mind, You've done it against two in-state teams. If you were South Florida, Alex is gone. His job is paid whatever he wants.
Yeah, and then like especially
as that Florida job
as an unranked team to start the season to win three in a row.
You're doing it against the in-state Power Four opponents in Florida. You can say we own Florida.
Yeah.
If he wins this game,
you sure
that's why Miami ain't giving them a chance in hell.
Well, they got to play UCF first. You got to get that going, with Scott Frost.
Bro, stop.
Central Florida's national champs, man. 2017. Don't forget.
Big 12 garbage.
Yeah. All right, we'll come back. There's actually a really nice story about NIL. I've never seen anything like this in college basketball. We'll get to that. Part of the pod are going to join us at 125. Stick around. Jason and John, I'm trying to FM ESPN.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.